to put your mind at rest before I start speaking. I intend to be very short, so you needn't worry, those of you who know me. But I have something serious to say, something very joyful to say too, and I want to say it. When I welcomed you at the beginning, I meant to say that it was a special joy to me to be here. Miriam and Bill know this, but it is, I take this invitation to take part in this service as a tremendous privilege and honor for me. All the more so because I know why they wanted me to take this service. Bill and Miriam and I were on the same page. We have the same agenda. We're about the same business. And I know they wanted me to speak for these few minutes because they really did think that I would speak in a certain way. And by God's help, I intend to do it. Bill and Miriam, I have a confession to make. I am useless at choosing presents for people. But for 40 years, I was married to a lady who, in my opinion, was expert at choosing presents. So for 40 years, I had no trouble. Sometime now, though, I've had trouble. I had trouble in the past because I choose a present for her, and I nearly always get it wrong. So today, what would I give a couple like this? Of a certain age, shall I say? And two households, they're probably trying to cut down whatever could they want. And I would have got it wrong anyway. So I was in a quandary, but you solved the quandary for me. But I was in no quandary about this. I knew what they wanted me to say here. They don't know the text, but I have a text from Scripture. But then I know what they wanted. The text I have is found in the 24th chapter of Luke and the 15th verse. This verse has special memories for me. It was first given to me and a young lady in 1961, and it has never left me. A dear brother and sister now in glory wrote this to us, and this is the text, and this is what I have for you. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, those of you who know your Bible, you've got the story all mapped out. But there will be some here who are not very much up with their Bible knowledge. Let me just explain. This is a Sunday afternoon when this event took place. On the Friday before, the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified and died on the cross, and he'd been buried. And on the Saturday, the Sabbath, the Jews had rested. And on the first day of the week, the Sunday morning, the disciples, their life shattered and in ruins, that their Messiah, that they thought, had been dead now, crucified, and all their hopes were ruined. And two ladies, they could not sleep. They had to go at first light at 6 a.m. to anoint his body. They were worried stiff that when they got there they wouldn't have the strength to open the tomb, the great stone. But when they got there, to their amazement, the stone had rolled away and the Christ was not there, for he had risen. And they were amazed, and they couldn't understand it. They were confused. And they went back to the other disciples and they said, "He's empty. He's risen." And they were in a state of utter confusion. That afternoon, two of the disciples, for some reason, decided to take a walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they were walking along, they were talking to each other. And they were as miserable and wretched and depressed as any man could be. Why? Because all their hopes have collapsed with the death of Christ. And a stranger made three. And he began to talk to them. "Why are you cast down? What's wrong then?" "Well, our hopes are gone." "Well, and what did the stranger do?" "He opened to them the scriptures." I've got an open Bible here. That's no accident. Design. He opened to them the scriptures, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. What did he talk about? The weather? The sights? He showed them from the scriptures that rather than the Friday being a disaster, it was the greatest glory of the Messiah. For he was dying for his people's sins. And when he hung upon the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The answer is, "Because you are bearing the sins of all your people." And now he is risen in accordance with the scriptures. And it records this. After that conversation and after they sat down together, the stranger went. And it records this. They came out of the little house where they'd gone and they rushed back to Jerusalem. They forgot their journey to Emmaus. They went back to Jerusalem. Why? Because they said, "We've got to tell the rest. Did not our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures and he showed us the things concerning himself?" The Lord is alive. But my point, you see, my text today is right at the beginning of that narrative. They're walking along, cast down, depressed, and the third one joins them. And it says in the scriptures, although they don't know it at the time, "And Jesus himself drew near and went with them." I have lived with that text. That text has lived with me for over 50 years, 50 years or more, 53 years now. Oh, I know. And I know, Miriam. Jesus has drawn near to you many years ago individually. I know that. I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been true. I don't take services for unbelievers in the name of God. I meant what I said when I read about in the sight of God. I meant it. And so did our brother and sister here. We are in the sight of God. And it is the word of God I'm preaching to you. Jesus himself drew near. But my dear brother and sister, in a very special way, I'm telling you now, in this newest thing, I am convinced of it. Jesus himself will draw near and he will go with you. And he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Did you notice in the marriage service, my friend, there's some very solemn words, some very sad words about death, sickness, and health. But what I'm telling you now, this is the real world. They say Christians can't face reality. Rubbish! It's only Christians who can face reality. And we can stare the bitterest experience in the face today. Bill and Miriam, and I for that matter, we've all stood at the graveside. And we said in the vows, "Till death us do part." So there could be dark days. There won't always be high summer. There'll be winter. Dark nights. But Jesus will be with you. He will never leave you. It isn't an angel he's going to send. It isn't a pastor or a minister or a priest. It's himself. Do you remember Princess Diana? I remember her on the telly talking about Charles. And she said this. The trouble with our marriage, she said, it was crowded. It was too crowded. There was a third person in it. Now we know what she meant.
I do.
And I quite understand it. There's an old friend, he's dead now in glory. He was a dry old man, and it must have been raining one day, and we were talking about sharing an umbrella. He said, there's only one way two people could share an umbrella, and that's if they're a courting couple. Yeah, well, some of you know what I'm talking about, some of you have forgotten, I expect, but it was true, yes. But, you see, two's company and three's none. But not in this marriage. Because the third one makes the marriage. Because Jesus will be with them, they can face the darkest day and the bitterest night, as well as the joyful time. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I address you now, my friends. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, in the way that is obvious in this way we're talking now, you don't know him as your own, as our brother prayed, personal Lord and Savior. And I speak these words with all the affection and love and sincerity that I can. But Jesus said, if a man gains the whole world, gains the whole world and loses his own soul, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The only way you can find your soul in the terms that Jesus meant, I haven't got long, I said I'd be short. If I had long, I could explain it more. But I'll cut it short. But I want you to know, the only way that you can find and save your soul is having Jesus to go with you. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your own personal, living Lord and Savior with you, you are bankrupt. I said, you're getting worked up. My friend, if I saw a loved one's house on fire, and that loved one was in there, I wouldn't stand outside saying, that's a very nice fire. I'd be pleading, wouldn't I? Doing all I can. This is more serious, my friend. We stand on the edge of eternity. Oh, some of us don't. You don't know, my friend. You don't know, nor do I. But Jesus still offers mercy, rest, salvation for all who will trust him. This is what it means to us. This is what the New Testament works on. Remember, this in Luke 24 is just a record of the history. It'll take the apostles in Romans and Hebrews and Galatians and so on, Ephesians, they'll work this out. And what will they tell us? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if we say, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee, he will come. The text that I was converted under is the book of the Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20. It may be a bad exegesis of the text. I don't know about that. I think it is. But it got me that night. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. You have come as a guest to this wedding, and we are most pleased to see you here. You may be thinking what present you can give Bill and Miriam. I'm offering you something, my friend. In the name of Jesus, I'm offering you everlasting life, everlasting bliss, everlasting salvation. There is life for a look at the crucified one. Jesus himself will draw near to you, my friend. But as the writer says to the Hebrews, see that you refuse not him that speaks. I'll close with this. I said about the difficulty of knowing what present to give Bill and Miriam. Perhaps you didn't have that difficulty, but I did. But I'll tell you this. I know what would give Bill and Miriam more joy than anything. And it would give me joy too. And I know more. For my Bible tells me the angels in heaven rejoice over it. And I'll go further. God himself delights to show mercy to sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is that joy? And then, Miriam, if one of you, my friend, you over there, madam, you, sir, madam, sir, I don't know you from Adam or Eve, but if you've never trusted Christ, if there be one soul here this morning, this afternoon now, could look to Jesus and say to Bill and Miriam, today, or another day to come, do you know what happened to your wedding, Bill? It was that chap trumpering on. I didn't really understand what he was talking about, but I felt that Jesus himself drew near to me, and you know what, Bill? I opened my heart to him. Do you know, Miriam, I said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And he came. It was through this couple. They would never forget this day in a second way. That was the day when our dear friend so-and-so was converted to Jesus Christ. I say I would rejoice too. The angels will. God stands with him too. Well, there's my text, my friend. You can do one or two things. You can do what I've just done. You can close the Bible and leave it in there. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. When Joshua, when he was an old man, made his last address to Israel, he saw the way things were going. He said to Israel, you want to go back to Egypt, don't you? He said. Well, make your mind up. Do you want to go to Egypt? Then go. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he said this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I put Jesus Christ on the table before you. I offer him to you. Will you take him? Will you have him? Abraham wanted a wife for his son. He sent his servant away to get a wife. He found Rebecca. And the family discussed it. And then he put it to Rebecca. Will you go with this man? Will you go with him? I said to Bill, will you have Miriam? And he said, I will. I said to Miriam, will you have Bill? And she said, I will. I put this to you, my friend. Will you have Jesus? What is there in him? It is so many to have. He offers you everlasting life and everlasting bliss. Will you have him, friend? We have prayed you will. And I will pray again. May God bless this word. That Jesus draws near in this room. And some poor sinner may take him home with him. Mary Miriam, Jesus himself will draw near. And he will go with you.